March. Are we in March? It's crazy. February just went through. And if you weren't around for some of February, we had a great month of hearing from different people. We heard from Andy Worthington about the persecuted church around the world. That was it was just good to connect with and get that sense that we're globally connected. It was fantastic to have the baby dedication for Naomi and just thinking about that, like that mother, that all the potential and the that's God's heart towards us. He sees us as His children, and He sees all the potential, all the dreams. God has plans and visions and dreams for you. He is your father, your mother, your parent. He wants so much for you. And we heard that coming out from Chrissy. I think Chrissy, probably it's dawning on her that just like it dawns on most parents, that you never stop parenting. And so now that's all very well and good, but when you've got 60 kids and you never stop parenting. So I pulled out a list of kids who names who I knew from Burundi, and she just rattled off what each one of them were doing, where they were going. And you could see as she said each name, a flood of what she wanted for each one of those people came flooding through. And, she's not stopped being a parent, and she can't stop being a parent to those kids. And that a heart that says, hey, if you're here, I'm here. Is what we're praying for. She shared in her message, and you'll go back and listen to it on the podcast or on the website. If you don't know how to do that, speak to the information team. But she talked about Jesus coming out and walking on the water. She talked about the fact that the disciples didn't see, they didn't recognize Jesus for who He was when He was doing the miracles of feeding the 5,000. But when He was walking on the water, they saw Him, and then Jesus said to them, take courage, I'm with you. And for some of you today, you just need to hear God saying, take courage, it's going to be okay. But it's only okay when we've got that connection with Him, when we've got that face-to-face, we're looking at Him. And if you read in some of the versions, Peter gets out of the boat and walks towards Jesus. Peter being, classic. Come on, if it's you, Lord, I'm going to come out and do it with you. And then he takes his eyes off Jesus and on the circumstances, and he sunk. And it's only in keeping a perpetual connection with Jesus, with the Father, with the Holy Spirit, that it enables us to live the life we're designed to. Otherwise, we sink, and we need rescuing. We've sung a lot today, Rescuer. And love came down and rescued me. And that is the truth of the situation. We find ourselves needing rescue continuously. And the solution is always the same. It's a connection with God. So in March, we're leading up to Easter. And what I realize is sometimes I get to Easter and I'm deeply excited about preaching on Easter Sunday. And I know you all look at me like, he's a bit of a weirdo and he's going off on one. But we are Easter people. We are people of the resurrection. We are people who should be, more than at any other time, excited. So to aid you with that excitement, I'm going to preach about the resurrection until Easter. We're going to get an introduction today. Then you're going to get some more information next week. Then we're going to talk about it the third week. And by Easter, you're going to be, celebrating. Amen? Nod and say, it sounds like a plan. Yeah. Let's read 1 Corinthians 15, verses, I'm just going to throw a few verses at you this morning, and we'll probably come back to them next week, but it will be good. Starting in verse 17, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, you're still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we're to be pitied more than all men. If you go back a few verses, in verse 12, it says, But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can you say that there's no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, verse 13, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is our faith. If Christ, where does it say? But if, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. Many of us think about Good Friday and the cross, and we have, I would say, as a generation, certainly my generation, has been steeped in the cross. Has, rightly so, has been told of the power of the cross. But what we've got perpetually focused on is our sins. And what I want to do is change our focus to the resurrection. Because the cross is part of the story, but if the resurrection, if Christ has not been raised, then our hope is, then we are to be pitied and our faith is futile. Most of us would say, if Jesus didn't die on the cross, our faith is futile. If he hadn't died for our sins. But that's not the point. It's the power of the resurrection. Philippians 3 and verse 10. This is Paul again. And if you read the New Testament, a lot of it being written by Paul, you hear it over and over and over again. Philippians 3 verse 10 says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Doesn't say, I want to know Christ and I want to understand how to remain good friends with God because he sins and separation, all the rest of it. It's the power of his resurrection. It goes on, the fellowship of his suffering to become more like him in death. But there's something about the power of the resurrection that we need to get a hold of. Because if we don't, then we're to be pitied and our faith is futile and we're kind of wasting our time. We were talking in the office with some of the True Colors crew team, and they were saying, do our kids know the Easter story? Do they know why Jesus died? Do they know about the cross? My question is, do they know about the resurrection? Do they know why we need the resurrection? Why the resurrection and the power of his resurrection? Now it brings what do they know about that? What do we know about that? And together, we're going to discover some of that. If it's just the cross, then you're righteous, your sins are done, but you're powerless. But the resurrection is life in all of its fullness. It is God's power to not only raise Jesus from the dead, but to bring life into every dead situation that you have. Now, I don't know about you, but you may have some dead parts. I'm not going to point them out. But you know which part of you is not zinging with the resurrection life. And it should be. And the solution is not more knowledge or more understanding, or more head. It's about getting a connection. It's about remaining connected. John 10:10, famous verse. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and life in the full. That is God's mission for us. Life, and in some places it says abundant life. That word life means physical life and spiritual life. It means that every part of your life should be just going off. Should be happening. It should be making a difference. We were in Holland, the week before. And we were staying with people, they had kids, they had young kids, 14-year-olds, something like that. And 14-year-olds can be a bit of a tricky bunch. You know, they're a bit cool, and maybe they don't want to know strange visitors from overseas. So I was making connections with these kids. And one of the things I was doing was, I've got a few magic tricks Now, I'm no, you know, Paul Daniels or, you know, David Blaine. I can stare lifelessly at you. Just as a side, David Blaine, is it David Blaine, isn't it? He held his breath for 17 minutes. 17. Now, for those who are going, that isn't possible, you're right. He was on pure oxygen before that. But 17 minutes, he was in a tank of water. Anyway, just park that. That's something for you to just think. Coming back to my story. I'm no David Blaine. I hold my breath for the rest of the sermon. But I started showing some of these kids my magic tricks. I've got two or three of them. Now, what is the thing when you see a magic trick, what do you say at the end of it? How do you do that? How do you do that? That's the thing you want to do. That's the thing that you want to know. Everyone says, how do you do that? And I want, after the end of this month, people to look at your life and say, how are you doing that? How do you do that? Because there is a way to live a life of complete and utter freedom in every single area of your life, to have power and abundance in every area of your life, and to have nothing that is dead or dying or in your life. It is possible, because that's what Jesus said. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. It's not just about eternal life, it's about life now. John 1, verse 4 says, in him was life. This is speaking of Jesus. And that life was the light of men. If you go back to verse 3, it says, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that light was the light of the world. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. What they're saying is that Jesus, the person of Jesus, is the life force that we were designed to live connected to. And the resurrected Jesus is fully empowered, connected back to the Father. On the news sheet, I've got the thing. If you look on the back, it says Electrinity. Because that's the power source that we need to be connected to. It's the Trinity's connected power that we should be connected to. Further on in John, it says, in John 3 and verse 17, most of us read John 3:16, and you've heard this before, but nowhere in John, that passage of John, does it say anything about us being sinners and Jesus needing to die for our sins. It's used all the time, but it doesn't say that. And verse 17 says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Jesus' rescue mission is to come down, grab us from the disconnected state we're in, from the muck and the mess that we find ourselves in, from the death of separation, and through him to reconnect us back to the power supply that we were supposed to be connected to. We have got fading battery life that basically, I don't know if you've got an iPhone, but you are that iPhone. You can barely get through a day. And if you really are under pressure and being used, you can barely get through half a day without giving up. Now, the problem is that you know that if you've got a phone. And so what do? To your phone? You're charging up. You connect it every night. You for some of you, you carry around like Ella, like small power stations to try and keep it fully charged, just in case some. But you know that that's how it works. But we've lost the fact that that's how we work. And so we've got dead phones that we look at and go, I wonder what this is all about. It's got no life in it. It doesn't seem to do anything. And then we say to people, hey, you want to get one of these? This is Christian life. And they look at it and go, no thanks. Now, you get that thing charged up, and you flick on, you know, whatever, Angry Birds, Flappy Birds, something, and people are like, whoa, what's that? That is a small picture of what a connected life should look like. Colossians 1, chapter 13, it says, he's rescued us from the dominion of darkness. He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. That is what the resurrection is about. You know, all through the entire Bible, Jesus is basically saying to the disciples, you need to connect back to God. That is what you were originally designed to do. You were designed to live in the connection with him. And everything you're seeing me doing is because I have a connection with him. And then he goes on to say, I can bear fruit. I can do nothing on my own. It's only the Father that's flowing through me. It's only my connection with the Father. It says, if you cut me off from the vine, I will die and wither. And there'll be nothing left. And yet we seem to have created some sort of, in the absence, I would say, of the power of God flowing through our lives, we've created a theology and a mindset that just boils down Christianity to, well, we were sinners, and then Jesus came, and now we're not sinners. Yippee! And how does that feel? Well, great. Mostly it makes you feel guilty. So the law increases your guilt and shame. Now that's okay for a moment. But Jesus came to bring life and life in its fullness. He didn't say, I came to point out that you're not very good. And the Christian life is not about following rules and regulations that you cannot do. You cannot, you know, turn to someone and say, you know what, I can't do it. That is the most truthful statement you've said today. You know what? I can't do it. You know? Because you weren't ever designed to do it. You were only designed to be empowered through a connection with God which enables you to live the life that he wants to live through you. It is God who gives you both the desire and the ability to do what pleases him. And people who are trying to do it, go for your life. You try doing it on your own. You are probably feeling tired, exhausted, and feeling slightly unfulfilled that it's harder than it looks. But you weren't designed to do that. Romans 8, verse 29. I don't know whether I've got this one on the screen. Verse 28 says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the likeness of his son. Now, where have you heard the words, the likeness of God before? Back in the garden. Let us make man in our likeness, in our image and our likeness. So everything from the garden all the way through is to get us back to this. For God has called us to be conformed into the likeness of his son. The good news is you can't do any of it. So you might as well just give up now. But Jesus can do all of it. And if you know and understand that connected life, sin and our obsession with it is just a disconnection with God. The results of sin is what we tend to talk about. Well, they were sinning, they were doing this. Yeah, but why were they doing that? Because they weren't connected to God. Because if you're connected to him and his life is flowing through that, you cannot sin. You can't find a way of sinning if you're truly connected to God. If you're connected to him and he is flowing through you, and you see people as he sees them, as he has seen us this morning, as his children, as those he wants to put under his wing, as those who he delights in. How then can you be horrible, negative, callous to them? It doesn't work. So a disconnection from God is what has happened, and the result of that is your activity. And God doesn't worry so much about the activity as about getting you connected back. I like gardening and, well, I like things that grow. I think it's amazing. The cherry blossoms that are just ping, come out, or the, if you've got, I don't know if anyone's got an almond tree, but if you had an almond tree, it would be out. When we were in Bulgaria, the almonds were starting, and that's you know, yeah, it's a blossom. Maybe you've got a magnolia or something which is if you've gone out, you've seen it, it's starting to bud. Now, there's nothing worse than seeing a branch of a tree broken off, because you just know it's going to die. And when we disconnected from God, he just knew we were going to die without him. And so the power of the resurrection is getting us back to a place where we can be connected. And not just a one-off deal, but every single day, like that iPhone, that you go, when you see that little warning light, beep, beep, I know the warning light. Tanya knows the warning light. When I am not being very nice, that means I'm disconnected from God. When I can't handle people, it's because I'm disconnected from God. I'm thinking about myself and not them. When I can't handle the world, when I'm feeling stressed or lacking joy, lacking peace, I'm disconnected from God. If you're worried, you're disconnected from God. If you're anxious, you're disconnected from God. Every problem that occurs that is causing you problems is a problem of disconnection. And once you know that simple fact, you don't dismantle the Hoover, you know, and take it apart and read the instruction manuals. You just go to the plug and go, oh, this is the problem. And you plug it back in again. And it's as simple as that, but it's as powerful as that. And we were designed to represent God on this earth as people who are connected to a power source that people don't understand. And they won't, you won't have to convince them of God's abilities or his existence, because they will see it in you. And those who connect to God perpetually and are in his presence continuously, even their very physical beings start to take on the glow of his glory. So, that is the introduction. See, by Easter you're going to be excited, people. We're going to get some big whoops, some Mexican waves, some balls bouncing around. Yeah, we're going to go for it, because we're resurrection people, okay? Might even get some T-shirts printed up, you know, get some trampolines, you know, whatever. It's going to be good. Let's pray. Father, I just know that you are, death could not keep Jesus. Death, the thing that we fear the most, the thing that creeps and crawls over this world, death is defeated. And that same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is available to us. And Lord, I just pray you get us excited. And I'm going to finish the prayer before they come in. Amen.